This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the whole show powered by PDC Energy. It is a weird day, man. It's a weird day. And hey, Zach Stevens joining us now, Broncos insider for DNVR Broncos. And Zach, if the Broncos continue to have depth issues on the defensive side, maybe give the Joker a call. I don't know. He looked pretty good last night.
Man, if the Avs ever need an enforcer, right. That's the guy to turn to.
Gotta get him. I don't know if he'd do so well on skates, but you never know.
Well,
maybe
that's so. True. Before last night, though, Brady, people would say if the Broncos ever need a quarterback, put him back there.
I mean, he could just be on all of the teams, right? Third base for the Rockies, enforcer for the Avs, and you know, kind of whatever, a specialist for the Broncos. I mean, we could figure that out, I'm sure. Zach, what a crazy weekend, man. I mean, the Broncos find a way to do this thing. You and I talked about it Friday, like the dreamers in us were like, if they do this, they'll be 5-4 with a Philadelphia team that's beatable. And then the bye week. I mean, I'm watching the Monday Night Football game last night, Zach, and my thoughts are, we need Pittsburgh to lose this to better the Broncos' chances of playoffs. Are you kidding me? It's nuts.
Yeah, it is nuts, but it's the right type of nuts, Brady, because the Broncos are right in this. Look, they're in the AFC West, which is all within half a game right now. Sure, the Broncos are fourth in the AFC West, they're last, but they're only half a game out from being first in the AFC West and hosting a playoff game. And now we are on the second half of the season, which is when it's appropriate to scoreboard watch and be cheering for the Bears to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers last night. And Brady, that's where the Broncos have not been in so long. Look, George Payton said before the season, his goal for this team this year was for them to be competitive in November and December. And I think a lot of Broncos fans rolled their eyes and said, that's not the Broncos standard. Well, you know what? It's more than they've done the past 5 years. So the Broncos are living up to George Payton's goal right now. And man, if they can continue this and just be competitive in December, and we're still talking about this year's Broncos team, not looking at the draft when the season's still going on, that would be just a huge improvement. And would it be the Broncos standard? No, it certainly wouldn't be. But Brady, they got to take steps in order to get there.
Yeah, no question. I mean, the fact that we're here, you know, with 9 games played by Denver, and you're still in this race, you're still in it, you finally beat a team, you know, not just a team that has a winning record, but a team many thought might be the contenders, the real contenders to represent the NFC, to maybe even win it all. So what went right here, Zach? I mean, we've talked about the blueprint for the Broncos, and if they can stay committed to the run game, and then that defense can be elite almost, then good things are going to happen. And though depleted defensively, they were, I mean, almost perfect. And then they really stayed committed to the run game.
They did. And that's exactly it, is they found their winning formula and they stuck to it. And look, Dalton Risner told us after the game, he said, in order to establish the run, you have to run it more than 20 times in a game. And that's what the Broncos did. And they did it with their balanced rushing attack. And that proved that it can work. And they stuck with it. They didn't just run 20 times, Brady. They ran the ball 41 times. And that's just incredible. And it's not like they were averaging 7 yards per carry. They only averaged 4.6 yards per carry. But that's the type of commitment to the running game this team needs. And then look what it did. It opened up Teddy Bridgewater to be exactly the Teddy Bridgewater that the Denver Broncos wanted. Extremely efficient, almost 70% completion, 249 yards, 1 touchdown, no picks, and 107 passer rating. That is exactly the dream Teddy Bridgewater that the Broncos hoped for. And then he made the plays downfield when you needed them. That touchdown to Tim Patrick was beautiful. He made the checkdowns when you needed them. And then the defense stepped up in a huge way. This depleted Broncos defense led by Vic Fangio, man, Vic deserves all the credit after this game, not just for the defensive game plan, but how he got this team fired up, Brady. That's the first time that I've seen this team so fired up in a game, and I really give the credit to Vic Fangio for that.
it's interesting. You go back and you watch the Browns game, and they're on their 400th running back, it seems like, and the Browns are falling forward 5 yards. You know, they're getting hit, and then they're falling over for a first down. The penetration that the Broncos had specifically on those fourth downs, it's a night and day difference. So, Zach, what is it? Is this, was this just a highly motivated team that had the adrenaline of the NFL gods pumping through their veins, or is this a bunch of guys, you know, the Jonathan Coopers of the world that maybe we thought could be good, but they're taking that opportunity and running with it?
Yeah, and we'll find out officially if it was just momentum from trading Von Miller and the players really rallying this week, or if it's something that can stay. We'll find that out this Sunday because, boy, unfortunately, this could set up as a big letdown game. Now, the Broncos have a lot of things going in their favor for it not to be a letdown game. One, they're coming back at home. Two, they're playing a bad, a beatable Philadelphia Eagles team. The Eagles are actually pretty good, despite what their record says. And the other reason, they're going on a bye right after this. So they have every reason to continue that momentum for one more week. And I got to say that moving on from Vaughn, it really seemed to open the door for pretty much every guy on the defensive side of the ball to step up, whether it was on the field, whether it was leadership, whether it was the mentality. We see Justin Simmons be about as fiery on the field as I've ever seen him be. We saw Jonathan Cooper step up in a huge way on the field. He had two sacks, which is incredible. He could have had three or four sacks in that game. And so I think it was some addition by some traction with Vaughn stepping out. Obviously, losing Vaughn isn't good for the team, and because he's, you know, an extremely talented player, but it allowed the team to really take a step up individually, which really helped them collectively.
We're talking to Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos, our Broncos insider. The Broncos are 5-4, somehow, some way, going into Dallas. Although it didn't feel like they were going into Dallas, there was a lot of orange in those stands.
Yes, there was. The Broncos country traveled extremely well. I mean, in the second half, you could hear more Broncos chants than you could Cowboys, and that shows you what could be coming this week too. We saw 12,000 no shows at the Broncos' last home game against the Washington football team when the Broncos were riding a four-game losing streak. After this Cowboys win, Brady, there's going to be hundreds or, you know, maybe 1,000 no-shows. This place is going to be rocking more than we've seen in a couple of years.
Yeah, I tell you what, it was just one of those performances, Zach. And again, the reason the Broncos-Eagles game, that's my game of the week. I know there's a lot of college basketball starting up. There's some important NBA games, too. But I look at this one, and it's not the sexy matchup, but it's my game of the week because that Cowboys game, as much as I hate to say it, won't mean anything if they drop this one at home to Philadelphia. Is that fair to say?
Yep, you are 100% right. If the Broncos lose this game to the Eagles, everyone's just going to go back to where they were during that four-game losing streak and say, well, okay, the Broncos had a good win, but that's all it was. They're not consistent. They're 5-5 now. They're going into the bye with a loss. They're 500. And on top of that, they're going to be last in the AFC West for 2 weeks because you have a bye. However, if they win this game, then there's going to be a three-game winning streak, and the Broncos aren't going to have lost a game for over a month entering that Chargers game. There's going to be real momentum behind them, and they're going to need all the momentum that they can get because they have 7 games after the bye, and Brady, 5 of them are against the AFC West, which is good in one way because it means that the Broncos truly control their own destiny. They can win the AFC West with what they have ahead of them, but it's also bad because all of those teams in the AFC West have winning records. You got 2 against the Chargers, 2 against the Chiefs. Your 1 game against the Raiders is on the road. So it's a tough stretch. But, Brady, if you ask any team, they would want to control their own destiny like the Broncos will.
Yeah, they put themselves in that opportunity. It's right there in front of them. Zach, before we let you go, some housekeeping. Give us the lowdown on the injury side. Not the best of news, but in some cases not the worst either.
Yeah, it really isn't as bad as it could be, but, I mean, Brady, we all saw it. Guys were dropping left and right, and the Broncos just kept dominating the Cowboys. It was pretty incredible. You know, a 6-1 team, and you're losing guys left and right. You obviously didn't have a lot of guys coming into the game, and nothing stopped the Broncos. But the Broncos will be without Graham Glasgow the rest of the season after he fractured his leg. That one looked like the worst injury during the game, and it turned out to be that. So the Broncos are either going to turn to Natani Muti to start in his place, or Quinn Meinerz. Right now, and everything I'm hearing, I think it's going to be Quinn, especially with how well he played against the Cowboys and just how much energy he brought. Brady, you rarely talk about an offensive lineman bringing energy to a team, but that's exactly what he did. He was right next to Javonte Williams when Javonte had that beast mode run. Quinn was right there pushing him, throwing defenders off of him. So I think it's going to be him at right guard for the Broncos. Garrett Bowles might miss this week, which would mean Calvin Anderson would again play at left tackle, and Calvin did really good last week at left tackle. And then Bobby Massey is out with an ankle sprain. He's going to miss a game or two. The bye week could help him get back for that Chargers game. So you're going to see Cameron Fleming there. So we're talking about three backup offensive linemen potentially for this week. They played really well this past week, but that is certainly something to be a little concerned about going into this game. Pat Surtain has a knee sprain. That's obviously concerning. If I'm the Broncos, there's no way I play him this week. I let him have 2 weeks off. And the Eagles, you should be able to beat the Eagles without Bryce Callahan and Pat Surtain. Just don't let any Eagles players get behind you. The good news is Dalton Reisner left the game early. He's fine. Malik Reed should be back for this week. Pair him with Jonathan Cooper. That's going to be good. Natani Muti and Noah Fant should be back off the off the COVID protocol this week. And I expect Mike Purcell to play as well. So that's the big injury report the Broncos have. But like you said, Brady, there is some bad, but it's also not as bad as it initially seemed.
Yeah, it was nice to see Ronald Darby and Kyle Fuller play pretty good games, too. Makes you feel better about Pat Surtain, the rookie, but still playing outstanding football at this point. Zach, my friend, nobody better in the biz. We sure appreciate you jumping on with us each and every week, and we'll look forward to, I don't know if we're going to be on the air. We might have some state volleyball coverage going on Friday, so we might not be doing a show Friday, but we'll catch up with you at some point regardless.
Well, that sounds great, Brady. Thanks for having me on.
All right, my friend. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. And yes, so if that's the case for Friday, we will obviously do all of our Football Friday stuff on Thursday, Angel. We can do that. It's happened before. We can make that happen.
What time do you need me in on Thursday?
6 in the morning, bright and early.
Okay.
It's that kind of show. We prep 6 hours for that show leading into... Dude, no. The show writes itself. You got Joker knocking dudes to the ground. You got the Broncos upsetting one of the best teams in the NFC. And, oh, by the way, CSU opens their basketball season tonight against a Sweet 16 team in Oral Roberts. Dude, I don't have to script the show. I don't have to prep for the show. It writes itself. 51 minutes after the hour, I'll get to text on the other side. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.